Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, and McTernan. The WGTD Radio Theater's live broadcast, a tribute to Mary Tyler Moore, Saturday morning, June 24th at 11:15.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello and good morning. You're listening to Education Matters on 91.1 FM WGTD. I'm your host, Jess Sheeler, and in the studio with me today is Cheryl Cothey and Ed Kupka. Cheryl is the Coordinator of Career and Technical Education and Youth Options Liaison for Kenosha Unified, and Ed is Coordinator of Student Support. Hello and welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Would you both care to give us a little background about who you are, your current role, and your experience today?
All right. I am in my first year at Kenosha Unified School District. Previously was a marketing and business teacher. I started out my career in Racine at Park High School. Was there for 13 years and then had an opportunity to go to Wilmot High School out in Kenosha County and work on developing some career and technical education programs out there. So I have been there for the past 16 years working on teaching and also developing their programs as a career and tech ed coordinator, and started July 1 last year at Kenosha Unified School District.
Awesome.
And I'm Ed. I'm coordinator of student support for the school district currently. I had a beginning career as an electrical engineer for Procter & Gamble Green Bay for several years before I had a calling to teach. And I came to teach math and science in the Milwaukee schools at a high school level before then coming to Kenosha at Tremper High School, working as an assistant and then principal of Tremper High School for several years. And then kept the principalship role as I moved to a technical high school, in the Milwaukee school system, before coming back to Kenosha and then working with human resources, and now in the student support role, working with counselors and social workers for throughout the district.
Awesome. So today we're going to be discussing the Academic and Career Planning, a new revised response to 1985's Education for Employment program. Education for Employment was established in 1985 in response to the growing concern over the number of youth who failed to make a successful transition from high school to post-secondary endeavors. Instead of creating a new rule to address academic and career planning, on June 30, 2013, the current rule, PI 26, was updated and revised to include the current requirements and to be implemented beginning 2017-18 school year for students grades 6 through 12. So let's jump into it. What is ACP? For those who aren't familiar, Academic and Career Planning, or ACP as it will be referred to during this interview, is a student-driven, adult-supported process in which students create and cultivate their own unique and information-based visions for post-secondary success, obtained through self-exploration, career exploration, and the development of career management and planning skills. Now that we've defined this plan, I see that it states in the definition adult-supported. Cheryl and Ed, how will this plan be adult-supported within KUSD?
Well, I'd like to provide a little historical perspective, perhaps, on how students may have faced looking at what they're going to do once they graduate in the past. I think a lot of times that's been a very self-directed journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes scary. Sometimes it might be you're the oldest child and don't have some other model to in your family, or maybe your parents are telling you what to do. And then I think there's been some era of the counselor role coming into play over years, where the counselor kind of has taken that primary role of really connecting with the student at different times and when available to inquire with the student where they'd like to head after graduation. And what we're looking at now with ACP, or Academic Career Planning, is making that a little bit more deliberate and looking at every 6th through 12th grade student, as you mentioned, having time to think about that, whether it's thinking about their interests or talking through how it connects to a career. The adult-centered piece that you've mentioned isn't necessarily just the counselor. It's really that we have a lot more connections in a classroom experience through lessons or through exploration during an econ class and thinking about how this might impact a career decision might impact my financial well-being as an adult and when I want to strive for a career in a different way or how hard I want to work in a specific class that might be harder for me. What adult can I talk to about? I really want to be that veterinarian, for example, but biology is not coming well to me. I just like animals. So really connecting with adults in that way. And we can talk a little bit later about how parents fit into that whole equation as an adult as well.
I also think that we're going to be taking a look at what other adults are in the community that could help our students on their journey. Because it's not only the educational system that this plan was in place for, it's how can we connect with our community, our businesses that are going to be able to help support this role. So we're looking forward to what the first year of our ACP planning process is going to be at KUSD and hopefully going to be having those connections made for our students with all adults.
I have to say I'm excited about this because having, only graduated about 12 years ago, it was very much up to students to decide, here you go. Mm-hmm. You know that as an adult, and I'll put parentheses in the air as to how to be an adult, you go on to college and that's your life and pick a career without much explanation. So this is a new exciting take, I think, for our young people to be fully, emerged into what becoming an adult is. So it would seem that teachers not only need, per this plan now, to know how to teach their subject, but to provide critical, thought-provoking questions to train students to think about their interests and how it relates to success after school. How are our teachers being trained to be able to provide now information not only on their intended subject, but community resources and career exploration, as you had said, Ed, now knowing which adult do I go talk to so that I can get better and be able to move forward towards my goal after high school.
Sure, and I think we ideally think that every teacher has tried making that bridge a little bit along the way and making their content pertinent and to life and something outside the classroom. But I think you're right. I think there's going to be a lot more messaging about how do we really think through that more with more connections. And so specifically about the notion of ACP or academic career planning, that has been talked about for a couple of years in Kenosha Unified Schools. We were very focused this past year on making sure that all staff understood that it was not just a counselor project, that this is something everybody that works in the 6th through 12th grade classrooms is really part of connecting what they do to life after high school. So we had that exposure, if you will, to ACP throughout this school year. We have a district leadership team that's comprised of not just counselors, but administrators and content people in the English and the social studies and the business and tech ed courses coming together and really thinking a little bit harder about how do we have current lessons or expectations for students to learn in these content areas that we can bridge a little bit more of that career readiness and career mindedness to those lessons. And so this summer we are spending time about making some modifications or brand new lessons to bring that to life.
In the career and technical area, our teachers have been looking at how can they incorporate more labor market information for our students, because many times our students are basically seeing jobs that they're aware of. They're seeing, I would like to be a doctor, a nurse. They're not knowing enough about other careers that are out there. So we're doing some targeted lessons on adding that labor market information in those classes. We also are working with the Society of Manufacturing Engineers, and we're looking at putting together a summit for manufacturing that will be held in August of this year. And we're in the beginning stages right now with this. And one of the things that we want to focus on is bringing education and businesses together to talk about what are the needs. What do we need to do in education to make sure our students understand what are the jobs out there Many of them do not know those types of careers even exist. And if parents have been maybe in those jobs in the past, they might think manufacturing has been, you know, in a place that, you know, was greasy and dirty, and it's totally different nowadays. So we want to have kids have those experiences and make those connections, but our educators also are learning about those different types of occupations.
Awesome. That kind of leads into my next question as far as, like, tips, tricks, and tools. How, you know, will academic career planning be implemented? What types of those supportive services are going to be used to guide students to create that idea of what life after high school looks like for them? Because as you mentioned, labor market information is very important, and knowing what is growing in your community will lead, I think, to better success and outcome. You know, manufacturing very much has a stigma attached, and every year in October, workforce development folks have Manufacturing Month, where it's an open forum. Usually at different one-stops or career centers, they have employers come in and discuss, you know, this is what our facility looks like. I've been on plenty of manufacturing tours, and it has changed. There are still some that are, you know, you come in your overalls home and you should stop in the shower first, but there has been a push to want to incorporate young people into this because manufacturing and logistics is not going away, and we are so computer-driven that humans won't be replaced. You still have to pack those boxes and put them on a truck. So how are we going to implement that for our students? How can they develop and come up and create an idea of what they want to be?
Well, you talked about the tools, and so you're right. I mean, all those experiences, those panels, those tours, going to the wall and seeing posters of people that may look like you on the wall that say this is what the career looks like, or brochures are all nice and important. But one critical tool in the age of technology that we have embraced, and so has the state of Wisconsin, is a tool called Career Cruising. So career cruising, if you're a student listener or a parent of one, you're going to hear that term often. It's the tool that has been selected by both Kenosha Unified and then the state now to help students dive into those experiences for themselves a little bit further. I think the model is to kind of know yourself a little bit deeper as a student, like what you're interested in doing, what you like to do, and how you like to learn, and start exploring it a little bit. So on Career Cruising, it's that web-based design, which doesn't have to be done at school. It could be done anywhere on a computer. And diving in and exploring those opportunities that exist for a career or based on what you're interested in doing, it starts developing a list of, you would probably be great at looking further into this type of career. And it would be a list, depending on how many questions you've answered or how deep you've been honest about yourself as a student, and then start planning. So whether you're planning for a visit, like you had just highlighted, a visit to go see something, or a visit to the guest speaker that's coming in to talk about a certain topic at school, or an internship, or planning your courses, truly start thinking about, gosh, I need to start when I have those elective options. And as I get older, you want to start building in something that is pertinent to what you like to do or are interested in doing or learning that you're not good at it. And start doing those experiences and reflecting and recalculating, like, this is not what I wanted to do. Thank goodness I discovered that as an eighth grader. I have so much more time to flesh out what I really, really want to do because I got that knowledge refined. So I'm saying all these pieces help. Career Cruising help you go through that experience on a technical platform, a computer-based platform, and there's abilities for educators, too, to then pull that out, saying, if we want to have this trip to a certain site, who is interested in that? So this computer tool can generate the 37 students that may have highlighted, this is my top choice of what I would like to do, so let's reach out and gather them for that experience or that visit or that speaker to come to listen to.
I think they can also use that data that they collect from it, like if a university comes in or a technical school comes in to talk about their programming, we can also ask those students to meet with a college rep at that time. But I've seen it when I was a classroom teacher. when students were thinking about a career and they then found out what is that education piece that takes the step beyond high school, where they maybe didn't realize that, oh my goodness, I have to have a doctorate to become a physical therapist. I thought I could just go to a four-year school. And in just having that information at the tip of their fingers at any time that they want to log on, I think is so very important for our students. It's a very, very powerful tool. And it's great that in the school system that we are all going to be on one system in the state of Wisconsin, that that's going to be available for our students. So we look forward to embracing, you know, all those students in their activities inside of Career Cruising and making their decisions for their future.
When I was a youngin, in about eighth grade, we had to take what was called a MAPS test. And I've gotten literature for my own middle schooler recently saying, hey, they're going to prepare and at the end of the year take this MAPS test. Is that, so that I understand better, kind of what's leading into what will be Career Cruising, where they take that assessment, it tells them you would probably be good at, and then they use this online tool to follow up?
The MAPS test that you speak of, we do have a MAPS test that assesses academic progress. So that's the A and P part of measure of academic progress. That exists, but I don't believe that connects very closely with what you might be interested in. If it has in the past, it's probably been a cursory insight. So this is going to be a lot deeper. In fact, as students start discovering, for example, the list that comes out is, I don't know, a mortician, and they thought that they wanted to get into design and beauty. It might allow them to then take further questions, an additional battery of questions, and, you know, another two dozen questions that help them get a little bit more honest with themselves and see what they'd like to do. And I also offer that database in Career Cruising doesn't just connect with the careers, but also there's a plethora of colleges and financial aid and scholarship information in there from a local, state, and national level, international for that matter. For students to start exploring really how big of a net do you want to throw out to study. I'm interested in doing this. There's nothing in the area that provides me training or college experience or an internship locally, so how far do I have to go to consider that?
Is Career Cruising tied into what ONET is, which is the Department of Labor's, you know, definition as to what each job is, where your career falls, the training required, all of that? Is it tied into that?
There is a piece on there. I'm not sure if it's directly done with ONET, but there is all that labor market information that's on there. Here's where you can plan for what is the monetary value of this career. Where would you be for a starting range, that type of stuff. So you'll have a range of that for income. It'll talk about the education piece. What would be your next steps to move forward? It gives the students not just like this is the one career, but what could you do after? How would you move forward in your career a little bit more?
Oh, so like not just, hey, I'm now a career counselor, but also I could do, you know, counseling at a high school level instead of like saying working in workforce to place somebody into a job.
Correct.
Very cool. Is it interactive with parents? Are parents allowed to also get involved with their student and, you know, cruise with them?
Yes, it does. In fact, that's a piece of the Career Cruising platform that has a parent portal built into it. I think the counselors in Kenosha Unified have been very thorough with specifically in 8th and 10th grade having parents part of the conversation with the student to dive into these type of topics. Mm-hmm. But now that we have the Career Cruising tool, that doesn't have to always be in person. So parents can go in and have a certain level of access to see what the student, their student, their child is considering or looking at and asking those pointed questions or letting the student bring up the pointed question and saying, I'm struggling with this and I didn't see myself going to that long of a college experience to be a doctor, to be the physical therapist. I saw myself doing this. So I think that allows those parent conversations too. Like, well, honey, maybe we do need to think harder about that. And how do we get a plan together for you to reach that level?
Very, very cool. As far as like other additional planning is concerned, with a youth is logging in, you said they can access anywhere. Is it tied into like their current, each student, you know, in middle and high school has their own like Solr account. Parkside, but like they have a KUSD account where they log in and have an email and stuff. Where will they be able to access?
Same way.
Yeah.
We have it, this Google single sign-on. So their Google account, their Gmail account is provided through our school district to every student. And so it's through that sign-in that they jump into their Career Cruising account.
Are employers also connected to this? Like you had said, you know, school is, are employers tied in so that possibly those 37 interested in, say, automobile manufacturing can go talk to, say, a Pullman or something?
It's done a little bit different. There is a safety factor put in that. Employers are going to be able to sign up. There is a piece that's out there. It's called Southeastern Inspire Wisconsin. Southeastern Wisconsin Inspire. And they're going to be able to access information. And businesses are able to join in, and they can determine what is the level of how much they want to get involved with. Some businesses are like, you know what, I just want to be able to have them be a field trip offered. They can just pick that. There are a bunch of different career-based learning opportunities for businesses to participate in. They can offer guest speakers. They can offer a job shadow. They can have teachers come into their place of business so that they can do a teacher externship. There's a wide variety of what they can pick. And that's the greatest thing, that kids can go on and they can ask even a career coach. So if you have a child who is interested in nursing, they'd be able to ask a career coach in nursing any question. And they make sure it's a safe and secure location, so it's not, you know, people exchanging emails or what have you. It is being looked at. Each school will have a person who will be checking the Inspire account before it is sent off to the other place. And they're able to ask different types of questions. Education, what was it like? What high school courses would you recommend that I take? It's a very, very powerful piece that I think is going to really gap some of those questions that maybe kids didn't know where to go to ask for help. Maybe a counselor didn't know the answer. Maybe the teacher couldn't help them. And this is where they can go right to the expert in that field. Companies are also able to put on their own company profile. So it's a little bit about their history. It's a little bit about, you know, how many people do they employ? What careers are offered at our company? Because sometimes people will say, well, I didn't even know that we have an accounting job at Snap-on. They might not know that. So they don't sometimes look at that as a possibility if you have an interest in, you know, business. They're thinking it might be a little bit different. So it's going to have one-stop portal for our students, and our businesses are going to be able to sign up for what they would like.
How are we going to engage business in our community?
We are working with a bunch of different things. So a couple different pieces that we have is we had one school this last year, Tremper, was able to be in a pilot program. And we did this through the M7, which is the seven southeastern Wisconsin counties. We were in this pilot. Our students were able to get on and to ask questions. Actually, one Tremper student did get an internship based off his interest through Career Cruising and Inspire. So this was a very interesting thing we can do. We are working on the next phases of how it's going to be introduced in Kenosha. So we're working with CABA on that, and then there will be an onboarding of businesses. So it might be that it might be a smaller pilot program, you know, to start with until it is fully released. But businesses are interested. The ones that we've talked to are interested in participating in that.
Awesome. So because it's not an option for a student to say, no, I don't want to do this, how are we going to engage them in their plan and chart that they're actually participating and doing this 6th through 12th? That's, a, you know, 6 years of a long time to make sure that from, you know, say 12 years old to 18, I'm actively engaged in this and this is following me.
Mm-hmm. So the career cruising, or the academic career planning, rather, has been really clear from the state of Wisconsin, and the law that you opened up this conversation with, the PA 26 update, has been very clear about this being both a process and a product.
Mm-hmm.
So the process, we've spent the last 2 years locally in Kenosha Unified developing what activities, through career cruising, what activities are expected at each of those grade levels, 6 through 12. And so that's the way Career Cruising now is set up, is to let individual schools, districts, or states for that matter, identify what those activities are. So during the summer, you kind of populate. For example, seventh grade, you expect these 18 things to be done and turn it on. And so when the school year starts, an incoming seventh grader knows that those 18 things need to be complete. And as they're going through career cruising, the product, creating their plan, their academic career plan, is filling up items in through those 18 activities, as an example. And so they monitor themselves as a completion bar, or you can switch it to a completion pie to see how full your pie chart is. And I guess that's what a student and a parent can monitor for themselves quite easily. And from an administrative standpoint, the counselors have access to pulling reports. So they're seeing which students are furthest behind. Maybe there's certain classrooms that they need to get in more often and diagnose, okay, what's the holdup in here? Is it time or is it understanding how to work through that activity or survey or whatever is expected in that grade level? So we're able to monitor completion that way.
Because we have a summer youth employment program in Kenosha, and I know that students, as they enter high school and have to graduate, have volunteer hours. Some of them already work and are involved in extracurriculars. Will that also be included as part of these activities that can be charted with career cruising? And will there be some sort of push to, hey, if you're doing summer youth and you're interested in, say, being a veterinarian, can we get that person that you're working with to try to get you into, say, Care Animal Hospital to do an internship?
That's exactly how it's set up.
Great.
So, and that vague description of career cruising, it might be called like a career-based learning activity.
Mm-hmm.
And for a student in say, a ninth grade, that might be confusing. What does that mean? And so it's broken down to, I don't know how many different options. Let's say there's 30 of them, and that internship could be one of them. Or having a guest speaker come in is another one, or going on a field trip could be another one. So I would say that, yes, all those examples are what Career Cruising puts out as a menu of options and says, how many of these do you make available mm-hmm. for your students, and could you make available for your students? So that's kind of a quest now for us to grow these programs and say that we have more and more opportunities, so let's increase the number of expected interactions from a student saying that we have all these offers available for you to consider. Start reflecting, maybe it's going to be seven activities that you think about for your career activity within that career-based learning exposure.
To expose them to more, you know, there are already established Department of Workforce Development places in town. Is there going to be an opportunity to perhaps not, and I know you don't program career cruising, but you know, have information provided to the student in some way at their school saying, hey, there are career fairs that happen X, Y, and Z dates. We just did one with KUSD, but those frequently happen two or three a week at the job center here in town where employers come in, and it could just be a hiring event or it could be an information session. Like, if you want to have this job, here's how, you know, you go about getting this job. Are there going to be opportunities presented to the students, and if so, how do we make them more aware of what's available to select more options to participate in?
I would say that the counselors know about a lot of those, or the career and tech ed teachers know about a lot of them. So as we're working together on this district team of look at the capacity of what Career Cruising can do to build this academic career planning exposure, I will just jump immediately back to what you had asked about how easy is it for students to pick up on this, and then with their Google single sign-on, that means that we're email accessible through Career Cruising. So many times counselors have pushed out a message to all students that were interested in a certain topic saying, hey, heads up, there's a career discussion on this at the Department of Workforce Development, heads up. And so those emails arrive just as counselors or whoever would input them. A teacher might market an experience that's happening out in the community, maybe an internship that can, again, search Career Cruising, saying these are the 47 people that were interested in that. So I'm going to send an email blast out to them right away saying, here's a heads up. And this weekend, please be mindful. This is something you expressed interest in considering. And we have something locally here right on Sheridan Road. Mm-hmm.
I also think by working together and partnering like we did with the Youth Job Fair, we didn't know what was going to happen with that. And we had over 500 students participating in that. And I think that just shows a great opportunity for the different organizations within our community to work together to make things happen. And the staff at KUSD, I felt that all the schools did a great job of pushing information out to students. Principals were making sure that the messages got out. We put as much media out that we could on it, and it was a great event. So I think as we're growing the ACP process and the Inspire piece, that is going to continue to grow and get better as we're working together as a community.
It's encouraging because from that job fair, there were about 123 offers of employment. And each month, because Kenosha County has to track how many youth work permits we put out there, I think so far we're at 2,000 for the year, and we're only in June. So that is only,
that's great,
you know, going to continue to grow as we get closer to that seasonal employment time.
Of course.
So Kenosha, as far as a tri-county is considered, has one of the highest youth employment rates. So, yay.
Yeah, and that's great. Working together, so that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody has to chart stuff, and you said that students are allowed to do their little pie and see where they are successful. Does KUSD also have to chart how successful this is being implemented? So when seniors graduate, is there something showing, you know, do you have to do a report? Okay, they did this, this worked, and this is where they've ended up?
We have been doing that. Like I said, over the last 2 years, Kenosha Unified has been exploring this, getting ready for the expectation of this fall, having everything in place. So already, as we've allowed kind of some internal pilot schools taking a bigger bite out of the expected activities to occur, more than some other ones maybe, we've learned some lessons along the way about what's reasonable. And so now going into this fall, we will all have the same expectation for every 6th grader, every 11th grader, every grade level through that band across every school. So I think we've already learned our lessons of how to track and use that feedback to see what's reasonable and what areas and what grade levels we need to have deeper experiences or opportunities built in. So when you say, do we have to, we already have been doing it.
Good.
And I think that's going to be an expectation at some point by the state to look at generating that report back to the board saying this is what's what we're providing to our students, this is what they're pulling out of the system for themselves, and this is where they're headed next.
We've also had a couple years of working with other school districts, finding out from their best practices, them sharing information with us and us sharing with them, and trying to make what's best for our students at KUSD. So I feel that, you know, those times of coming together with some of the other players in the state has definitely helped do that, getting us ready for ACP. And as we venture on this next piece of, you know, Inspire, trying to get those career-based learning activities, we'll probably be going through the same process, going through smaller pilot programs, taking a look at what is working. I mean, this is new in our area. Career cruising's been around for a while, but having Inspire working with the community members is pretty new. And not many school districts have been doing this. So us participating this, you know, 1 year, having a small pilot group, I'm excited to see how it's going to grow for our community, especially for our students, what opportunities they're going to have.
Part of that, you know, community buy-in and having, you know, CABA, who you're working with, are they your sole focus as far as pulling employers in? You said there were a few in the, you know, M7 that have already mm-hmm. participated. But I guess what could other collaborative partners do to encourage business to seek you out so that, you know, they can connect with you? Because not everybody connects with CABA.
Mm-hmm. We welcome everyone. We've been active with the chamber and then also with CABA. I've also been working with the trades groups. So I've been meeting with them. Ed and I have a follow-up meeting in April. We had a trades fair for our counselors so that our counselors could learn more about what are the trades, what is it like to be a journeyman, what does a journeyman make per hour. And we had a great experience with that in our counselors. It was definitely information galore for everyone involved with that. And we want to continue to have those opportunities. I had mentioned that the Society of Manufacturing Engineers has been in contact with us. We've been working closely with other employers that have stepped up to the plate, have asked us, you know, is there something we can do? We're excited to partner, you know, so I would say contact us at KUSD. to be part of this exciting phase of letting our kids know more about careers.
And even refining some programs that we've had in place over some recent years, the Business and Education Partnership Program through the Chamber has taken on different evolutions each time as we get more informed about the ACP process and what students are curious about. So even taking what programs or relationships we had in place and just refining them has been very powerful and getting a larger amount of students enrolled into those programs as a result.
This leads me to my next question. For those students who don't plan on going to college and who are, say, trades bound, or who don't want to jump in and commit to a 2 or 4 year school to begin with because it's money and it's, even though I did this career cruising, I still might not really know what I want to do. For those students, how are we going to prepare them to step into the workforce after high school? What types of other trainings will be made available to them as far as, you know, locally or boot camps or other training programs?
One thing we've partnered with, Gateway has been a great partner with us. Our students are able to take courses that maybe they have a career interest in. We're not currently teaching it in our school district. So our students have those opportunities to be able to try some of those out. One great program that we have is a CNC boot camp. And our students have an opportunity to start as a senior when it is in July. So it's in their summer. So they have to be committed to this. And to have an opportunity to save about $4,000 in tuition. It has been paid for in the past. And then by December, they will be able to come out to work as a CNC operator. And then the second semester during their senior year, they have an opportunity to work at a local business as a CNC operator. So those types of experiences are great. LMI Packaging has been a great partner with us also. They came into the classrooms, talked to some of our students in the tech ed department, and talked to them about what does our business do? Most people didn't know what they do. So they came in and did a great presentation. We also then sent some students there on one of the days off. We saw which kids were committed. They had an opportunity to tour LMI, and then they had an offer. If they wanted to have a job, they had to go through the whole application process. So we worked with some of our other community partners in helping design resumes and practice interview skills before they were able to go in. So LMI graciously has taken 2 of our students for this next year that have graduated. So we look forward to having that program continue to grow and hopefully can replicate it with other businesses in town.
Awesome. So ACP is now going to be inclusive and family focused. Is there going to be a way, you know, you said through counselors and such things to pull families in to make, you know, you might get an email and I know some parents read that and go, okay, whatever, which is unfortunate, but how are we, or is KUSD going to make sure that, you know, families are actively engaged with their student? And since WIOA, which is the Workforce Innovative and Opportunity Act, focuses on working collaboratively to improve the workforce, is KUSD going to tie in that component with working with, say, you know, the Boys and Girls Club that offers the WIOA program or Job Corps, which offers another educational component?
Yes, very much so. In fact, I think what would be smart is where do we have the parent interest currently? So a lot of times that could be at registration events, and, you know, your child's going into this new school for the first time, and that would be an opportunity to set up information about this experience with academic and career planning and exposure to what courses are aligned to that and what tradespeople or colleges are connected to those courses to explain that further. So I think we have been thinking about what's been working well and what is connecting parents to continue bringing that more strongly connected to the academic career planning process.
I also think we have an opportunity to work with our parents. We were just recently notified that Kenosha Unified School District is going to be receiving a grant to bring back youth apprenticeship to our community. And one of those features is the students are not going to, you know, just have the classroom portion and the work portion. The parents have to be involved in that process also. So they're going to have an opportunity to be part of that journey with their child so that they get to learn what their child will be going through during their year or two as a youth apprenticeship.
Awesome. So again, just to wrap up and touch base, We've been speaking today with Cheryl and Ed from KUSD, and we've been discussing ACP. For those of you that might have just turned in, that's academic and career planning, which is now going to be implemented for this next upcoming school year for grades 6 through 12 to help our youth, who are the future, move forward with understanding what post-secondary life looks like for them. And we talked briefly about M7 a few times. Cheryl, do you want to explain what those seven counties are? Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Washington, Waukesha. Is it Walworth and Pewaukee? Nope.
I am not sure. She stumped us. I wasn't prepared for that one. But it is the seven counties in southeastern Wisconsin. And they are our economic development partners for moving forward with what's going on with our local businesses, and then now teaming up with the education piece on Inspire.
Looking forward into the upcoming school year, how can more people be made aware of this? As far as a parent being excited moving forward with a seventh grader, when will I know about this upcoming school year and how to start implementing career cruising into his evening daily plan?
Sure, and I think historically we've had a lot of investment into the information available on the Kenosha Unified School District website specific to the counseling area, and academic career planning has been updated and will be live very soon with all the information that we historically have leaned on, whether it's from links that have been helpful to find scholarships or more information about colleges, and knowing smarter now that we have those resources available through career cruising, so that website's going to have that opening of what is academic career planning in a very summary way from the show, and that how that connects, of course, with the Department of Public Instruction and statewide resources. And then honoring, like I mentioned, we have these great resources that people have become comfortable locally and using in our district. So just those learning resources, those career resources, and then those after graduation resources.
And that website, again, for those just tuning in,
KUSD.edu.
I would like to thank my guests today, Cheryl and Ed, for coming in to discuss with us this new and exciting, even though it's been around, it now has a new tag to it, academic and career planning that will be implemented this upcoming school year. I'm Jess. I encourage you, make sure to get involved and continue to follow along with updates that you can find on KUSD's website at kusd.edu. Make sure to help your child be as successful as they can be as they exit high school and become our future. See you here next time on Education Matters.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Good morning and welcome to the 12-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater in this, our 13th season. This is show number 108. I'm your host today, Susan Lean. If that musical television theme sounds familiar, well, it should. It's the opening music to the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And today we are remembering and most importantly honoring the incredible career of Mary Tyler Moore. Before I tell you more about today's program and who our underwriters are, I wanted to share with you a brief interview that Charlie Rose from the CBS This Morning Show did with Dick Van Dyke the day after Mary Tyler Moore passed away. Of course, Mary starred with Dick on his show as Laura Petrie, which ran on CBS from 1961 till 1966.
Longtime friend and co-star Dick Van Dyke. Longtime friend and co-star Dick Van Dyke joins us now from Malibu, California. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, young people.
And back to you, young person. It's great to have you here. Let's just begin with having you remember the Mary Tyler Moore you knew.
Well, that just brought back a lot of memories. You know, when we hired her, nobody knew she could sing and dance. I didn't know that I could. And the fact that we were able to, we thought we were the best dance team since Astaire and Rogers. And we thought we were the best comedy team since